Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer and a lesbian, and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. I'm hoping you're all having a very pleasant St. Patty's Day. Nicole, how is life treating you?
Life is treating me well.
Good. We're having a few little technical difficulties, so I'll be...
I'm having many technical difficulties. I'm running back and forth between three different stations here, and Blog Talk is not being cooperative.
Thank God I was able to log in, and I got it. I think the Blog Talk Radio is a little bit glutted because there must be a lot of St. Patty's Day radio shows, you know? So it's probably
yes,
a busy night tonight. You know, if there's some reason, sometimes it gets glutted. Nicole, do you have anything to share with us about your week or your love life?
No, everything is absolutely great. I mean, my week, of course, is always busy, you know, with work and everything else. This week, my business partner, Philip, and I decided we were going to take a hiatus from our Port Jefferson location so that we can freshen the place up and remodel it and things like that from the old owner and everything else, kind of get a fresh look and a fresh new, you know, feeling there. And as far as my love life goes, I have absolutely no complaints whatsoever. I am completely in bliss and in love, and that's it.
Wow. And I would like to dedicate today's show to my Aunt Marie, who died on Saturday. I went to her funeral on Tuesday, and I got to see my parents' tombstone, which hadn't been carved yet. So I got to see that when I was there. And she was 83 years old, and she will be greatly missed. She was very psychic herself, Nicole. She was She was very psychic. She was very supportive of when she found out that I had these like gifts, and she had them, of course. And she told me that her mother, my grandma, had spent an awful lot of money on a lot of bad astrologers and psychics. So they were so glad that I was like a legitimate and good one in the industry. So she couldn't stress that enough to me. So Aunt Marie, I hope you're listening in heaven to the radio show, and I hope she's resting in peace. So, Nicole, I'm going to go over. We do have a lot of callers, so I'm going to start with the first.
I wish I could comment on how many callers if I could see Blog Talk Radio on my screen.
Yes, we do. Hello, it's Cindy, and you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? It's Cindy.
Hello?
Hi, it's Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Juliana calling.
Hi, Juliana. You're calling from California?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Juliana, I know we've spoken to you before. What's happening in your world?
Well, lots of changes. My son is decided to move back to Canada, Toronto, to pursue his music career. And I'm still looking for a job in this end. And that's my big thing at this moment. And another thing is my actually uncle passed away. And in mid-February. So those are something new.
Your concerns. I know. Your son looks like he's going to do very well in his move. Okay. I'm sure you're probably upset about it. Maybe you're going to miss him. But
yeah,
it looks like a very good career going for him and very strong on this move. And
great.
He should do very well. I know as a mom you're going to worry, but there's really not much to worry about. it really is a good opportunity for him.
Oh, good.
And
good.
He has
good.
Really excellent cards in terms of that move. I mean, there's like no negatives in the card. And your uncle who passed away promises he can watch over your son when you're not there.
Uh-huh.
And his job will be keep your son safe. And, you know, your uncle seems to have made a very smooth transition to the other side.
Yes.
Even though, you know, recently dead, he seems to be happy with where he is. I mean, was it, you know, a long drawn out death? Because it seems like he's...
No, it's like less than, I think about a week in hospitalization. And I actually, when I heard the news about his death and I meditated on it and prayed, and when I closed my eyes, I had this bright light came to me. So I figured that was a good news. Besides,
yeah, was
he was
good.
A very good man.
He
you
was.
Know, but
he,
I just wanted to know. Yes.
He seems to have known he was ill before he let anybody else know, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he went the way he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And you did see the light. Your meditations are very strong. And he has what's called the lightness of being, which means he's glad to have shed his body. He didn't want to be on earth anymore if he couldn't be vital.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know, if he could be vital and, you know, his robust self, because he seems to have tremendously good energy and lots of, you know, sparks surrounding him, like a really
mm-hmm.
strong personality. He didn't want to be a burden to anybody. So
he's a kind man like that, mm-hmm.
Very kind. And just to let you know, he's fine. You know, it's not immediate, your job coming, but it is very soon, and it's good money here. So, you know, try to understand the universe isn't just bringing you any job. You know, if we're really desperate and we want a job, the universe will usually bring us any job. But the problem with you is if you took it, you may stay stuck too long. So the universe doesn't want you to bring a job that you're going to feel stuck at.
I understand, because I'm so loyal to the company that I work
exactly.
for, and I have to be very careful.
Right, you'll be loyal
to
a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you'll be loyal to a fault, even if they, you know, they hire you and they promise you health insurance and this and that, and they don't come forward a year from now, you'll still stay. So the universe doesn't want you to be in that kind of position. But as far as, you know, you have very good cards here for your son, for you. Just try to just visualize what your ideal job would be like, and don't settle for anything less than that. You know, you've had a lot of changes in your life this year, so a little bit of adjusting to some of the changes. But very, very good things. You know, change can be good. Your son going to Canada is a good change. You know, sometimes, you know, remember the pioneer days or the days when, you know, my grandfather came from Italy to the United States. They had to take a quantum leap of faith. They had to get out of where they didn't feel there was going to be opportunities for them or where the economy wasn't good. And, you know, they did that. We sometimes do have to migrate or immigrate or go a little bit further from where we're, you know, we're living
mm-hmm.
to find the opportunity. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's going
that.
To be...
I came here to West Coast first. I had a leap of faith and then kind of like, oh, it's taking forever, you know. but something I still... feel I made the right move. It just
it was the right move. It was the right move. And actually, you were hearing the voice to come to the West Coast for about a year or so before you actually went.
You're right. Oh, my God.
Gone the year when you first got the guidance, there was a job waiting for you. So because you hesitated so long, that's why you're thinking it's delayed, but no, you actually delayed it. So now you have to wait till the universe brings another job in alignment. So anybody who's hearing that voice, move forward, get another job. Do it now, because the universe knows there's something for you. If we wait a year, well, now the whole universe has changed a year later. So
you're
just
so
to let
right.
you...
Yes, you're so right. I waited exactly 1 year.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying from the, you know, your angels and spirit guides are saying we tried to get you to move faster. So that job was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the economy did some shifting, which then further,
yes, you're right.
You know, it was a little bit better opportunity then. But it's coming. That's what I'm saying. Just be a little bit patient. Don't settle. And please Juliana, call us and let us know when you get that great job, and let us
yes,
know how
I
your
will.
Son is going. And your uncle has got big smiles for you and lots of hugs, and he's saying thank you for your prayers and kind thoughts. You know, they hear them up there, and he didn't know just how many people loved him, by the way. He's pretty stunned by the amount
of
people who...
Yes, I can imagine. Yeah, I understand, because you know what? Because, for instance, my father, who is his brother, we left when I was a little girl. So I haven't seen him for a long time, but I never forget how wonderful and kind man he was, you know. So
right, and they are very touched by that. The dead are very touched by the fact that they affected us, you know, as greatly as they did, even if they haven't seen us in a very long time. So even if you haven't seen a relative, you know, who's passed away, that doesn't mean you can't, you know, send them love, and they just really appreciate it. Love just travels the miles. Good luck to
you. Thank you.
And we're going to move along because we do have a lot
thank
of...
Thank you very much,
listeners.
Cindy.
You're
this
welcome. Good luck
about,
to you.
This call was a bliss, a total bliss. So thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, let's see. We've got one from Long Island, I think. Hi, this is Cindy. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Cindy. Where are you calling from?
Long Island.
Long Island. Do you have a question you wanted to share with us?
Yes, I'm working with this business, and I just want to know when it's going to come out.
Okay, and you're working with a business. Okay, and you're working pretty hard, I can tell by these cards.
Yeah.
This looks like a good year for you, and this business, you actually have a very, very good five-year period opening up. Pretty much what you want is yours. It should go well. There's a little bit of, I think you're worrying a little bit too much. You've done the hard work here.
Mm.
It's going to manifest for you.
Mm.
Try not to worry about it. It looks
that's
very good.
That's the hardest part.
I know. And actually, across from the worry cards is a man who has very peaceful thoughts at the end of his life, which is way off for you, but it's showing that this particular business venture is going to help you feel like a man who has accomplished what he wanted. You're a very honest man, and this is in the laws of karma and in the universe, you deserve this to come out very well. So try not to worry too much about it.
It's going to manifest any time now.
Yeah, and it shows that, you know, you're a pretty strong-willed person, so, you know, you've been helping make this come your way.
Mm.
Are you doing everything you need to do? Because it looks like maybe one or two things you can do to speed this up a little bit.
No, well, it's a business transaction, a foreign business transaction that I'm involved. And it's out of my hands. Well, I was just waiting for news to come over, and, seems to be a little delays.
There is a little bit of delay, but not for very long. So.
And now we're not talking about months here, delays, no.
No, it's sooner than later. Again, maybe the next few weeks it should be coming through. So try to just keep the faith as much as you can. I know some of your family members seem to be impatient as well.
Yeah.
About
yep.
this, but just try to reassure them that things are on the right path. And
a lot of money, you see.
It looks like the amount of money that you've been expecting will come through. There's a young man who died who wants to talk to you. Do you know who that is?
A young man who died that wants to talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Probably was maybe 30 or 40 when he passed away. It was some time ago. But he basically, this man is saying things will go your way, just a little, just be a little patient and try not to... sit and worry about it all day, because that's not going to speed it up. Just try, in the laws of attraction, they work by you seeing the outcome that you want.
Yeah.
Try to see this coming and speeding along.
Yeah.
But good luck to you, and please let us know when it manifests, because we love to hear that. But the money
one
is
last
very
question.
Good.
I have a...
Hello?
Yeah. You see my father? How is he doing?
Your father passed away when?
No, he's not. He didn't pass away. I mean, how is he doing? I haven't spoken to him in a long time.
Okay, so you have been separated from your father?
Yes.
Do you want to make some peace with him?
Yes.
Because I would advise you to do that, because, you know, we always think we have, you know, all the time in the world to make peace, and I don't see that. The person who was young when they died actually knows your father. Did your father lose a brother?
No, I'm trying to focus. After the phone call, I'm going to focus who died younger.
Right, but you need to contact your dad sooner than later. He's not doing well right now.
Yeah, I know that.
Does any of your family members talk to you about your dad?
Yes.
Do you know the circumstances that are surrounding him, that why he's not doing well?
Yes.
Okay, I would advise you. It's harder to bury parents, by the way, that we have mixed feelings for.
Yes.
When we both love and hate them, it becomes much harder than if we've made peace.
Yeah.
Try not to think of the things that made you separate.
Yeah.
You know, try to remember there was a boy that once loved your father very much, correct?
Yeah. So
yeah, you loved him.
You see me going overseas to see him.
I think you should go sooner than later, actually. You have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
Yes.
She's the one saying I would advise you to go over. And how I dealt with my parents when they were dying, and I had a lot of mixed feelings about my parents, is I put the grown-up at the doorstep, the one who knew the bad and the ugly about them, and I just loved my mother like a four-year-old. If my mother was dying when I was four, I would have been devastated. So I just went and told her how much I loved her, you know, what a good mommy she was, and I would lie in bed with her and hold her hand, and we made tremendous peace. Again, I didn't rewrite history. I'm not making a saint out of her. But if I had not done that, I would have gone into prolonged mourning, because the child always loves the parent. The grown-up is no better, but you would do well to make some amends with him and, you know, try not to judge.
It's his birthday, so I'm going to call him.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. And your grandmother said to you, big hug. Good luck to you, and thank you for calling today.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Nicole, wasn't he a nice man?
Yes, very nice.
I know. It's hard when we have, you know, those sort of mixed feelings, don't you think?
No, absolutely. And I've had that experience, you know, with my own mother where we were estranged for a number of years. And, you know, it was only a couple of years ago with the passing of my grandfather that we kind of, you know, came together again. And it was a slow road. You know, but it was a road that we were both willing to take, and, you know, we're a lot better for it. Well, I think overall we just kind of needed a break from one another to kind of, you know, become mother and daughter again versus, you know, having like this animosity and, you know, this almost kind of like a friendship that we had, you know, developed, you know, because for a while the lines there had become blurred, you know, where, you know, are we mother, daughter, or are we just friends type of thing, you know? And now we are mother and daughter again. And it, like I said, it was a long road, but it's one that's worth taking, so.
Right, exactly.
I can definitely empathize with him.
And you're so wonderful, Nicole, that you're a young woman and you've already come to that understanding. Usually we're much more compassionate of our parents when we've been parents ourselves, and we have to hear our own children judge us so harshly, and it doesn't feel good. So I'm glad that you came to that realization, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah. It wasn't easy, but I did it.
Okay, I'm going to move over to here, and I do believe this is my fiancé, TJ, who's on his way home. Hello, TJ, how are you?
I'm wonderful, sweetheart. How are you?
Good, everything is good.
I wanted to tell you this funny little, I met with John Heisek today, an old friend of both of ours, who's 86 years young, and... He was getting his car repaired yesterday, and there was a girl named Linda, who is a who has your book on her Kindle, and reads it all the time. And you know, she didn't know John, and didn't know that he knew you and me. And it was kind of a funny thing on how the world is so small, you know. So I
wow.
Believe that, you know. And she, when we get home, you know, she wants to have a reading and all that other kind of stuff. But anyway, you guys sound so great on the radio, and I'm going to let you get some people who really need to talk to you. But you know I love you. I'm coming on home, and hopefully we can go out and celebrate a little bit of St. Patrick's Day, even though neither of us are. So I'm not wearing any. They noticed when I was on the show I wasn't wearing any green. But anyway, I'll let you guys go. Hello, Nicole. How are you? You always sound wonderful, and take good care of my girl, and goodbye, ladies.
Okay, goodbye, TJ. So isn't that a small world?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll tell you more about it, you know, after the show. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Now, Nicole, I love to hear someone's reading on their Kindle, Grant Me a Higher Love. And in Europe, it's a big seller right now. So I don't know why in Europe they've decided to embrace a higher love. So I'm so glad to hear that. That was wonderful information. Now, I'm moving over to here. I think this is someone out in the Hamptons. Hi, Cindy, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. It's Maura. How are you?
Hi, Maura. How are you? Did you hear that little story that TJ was in the Hamptons? Someone was reading my book on Kindle?
I did. He sounds so sweet. He sounds so sweet, and he loves you so much. It's just heartwarming.
I know. I'm really very blessed. We're really not only lovers, but very best friends. And
oh, you could tell. I could just tell the whole energy. Absolutely. I'm so happy for you both.
And thank you. And Maura, I always miss Maura because Maura does my hair when I'm on television out in the Hamptons, and I haven't done my TV show lately. So, you know, Maura is a great hairdresser. She's also a very spiritual person. She does meditations. She's really on the spiritual path. She has taught me many, many things. So, Maura, what's happening in your world today?
Well,
oh, and happy St. Patty's Day.
Thank you, and to you too. I'm sure there's a little drop somewhere, Cindy. There's a drop somewhere. But anyway,
I'm honored that you should call us on St. Patty's Day that you're celebrating.
Yeah, I just felt right to do it. So I said, oh, let me call her and say hi. Well, things are going good, really. You know, I have been, my friend Chris called in a few weeks, and you helped her a lot from Pennsylvania.
Oh,
she was so happy. And I'm basically, you know, doing the Voice for Love. I'm doing spiritual counseling now where, you know, people call it channeling, but really you just get in touch with Holy Spirit and, you know, you're in right-minded consciousness so that you share Holy Spirit. It's their private conversation with Holy Spirit, you know. So I'm three-quarters the way through. I have 40 sessions to do for my certification, and then I go into ordination. And I'm only out of the stall, really, a couple of weeks, left loose in the public. And I have 12 done. And I'm just getting all these calls, these referrals, like, and I'll have 20 done in no time. I'm so happy.
Well, good for you.
Yes, it is. But, you know, it's a trip, too, you know, being receptive and, you know, all your stuff. You know, I keep saying it's purification, transmuting to grace, you know. So it's good, really, you know. It's good. And the only question I have to ask you, Cindy, what can I look forward to?
Okay, you actually have this whole new career that you're embarking on,
mm-hmm.
which you've been striving to. Towards.
Yes, I have.
The spiritual, it's definitely going to manifest in very, very shortly and well.
Thank you.
You also have love in the near future.
Oh, God bless.
And the card that you're going to love that I picked for you was the card that has the cups overflowing with love and the dove from the Holy Spirit coming down into the Ace of Cups has the Holy Spirit. So, boy, your work is going to be rewarded.
Oh, that would be just an absolute blessing for me, you know.
And you are getting a lot of divine guidance, by the way. So, you know, keep that going. The love would be really, really helpful to you because when you're doing work like you're doing the channeling or what I do, and you really do need love to help recharge your batteries. You know, TJ is the person who at the end of a long day, when I almost feel like I don't know my own name, he's always the fun one, the loving one, who does recharge my battery. So I think you're going to find you're going to really want that in your life.
Yeah, it's beginning to, not beginning to, I've been feeling the urge now, you know, really kind of an urge where, you know, that this is something not only would I like, that I need to have in my life.
Exactly.
You know, so that's wonderful. And,
You have such beautiful cards here, so keep up with your work, and you know, I'd love to, you know, have you come here and show me how your Holy, you know, give you a reading and you can show me what you're doing with your Holy Spirit.
Oh, I would love that. I would love it. It'd be my pleasure and it'd be my honor, really. But listen, I do one quick question.
Sure.
What, this is hysterical, I have to say this in private, sometimes you laugh yourself sick. But anyway, what do you, really, it's very funny. It wasn't at the time, but looking back now, so we just roared laughing. What do you see for me at the spiritual center? I have left with about, the 16th January or sometime around that.
I'm not so sure you're going to return to that the way you were before.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're now on more of your independent spiritual studies, and you know, the sense that you may return, you know, to do some workshop or something. But I don't see you at the same capacity you were before.
No, no.
You're moving on to that now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The funny thing was that when I did a meditation, I was invited to a meditation when Holy Spirit came through. Even though the minister that was there loved it, a lot of people loved it, the heads actually taught me the following week that, you know, that I channeled God and it was disturbing to them.
Oh. Well, yeah, I know. You have to be, I know, yeah, it's funny, we have to sort of
you have to
accept that.
Humor.
You might be a little crucified here, it happens.
Yeah, I know, but you have, but like, I did at the time, felt bad, but, you know, once I got over it, and then I was saying, and then it just reflected back how funny the whole thing was, do you know? I said I should give it to, you know, someone that's doing a spiritual comedy. They'd have a great, it'd be a good laugh.
It would be
but
good.
Anyway, thank you so much
good
for the messages.
And
I will
Irish
be in touch
aspect.
And I'd be happy, it'd be my pleasure, really, to share spirit with you. It really would.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right.
Bye,
thank
Maura.
You, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wasn't it wonderful to hear Irish accents on St. Paddy's Day? Nicole, that was wonderful. Okay, let me see. We're moving over here. Hi, Cindy, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
This is Cindy. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from St. Louis.
Oh, that's, I didn't think we've had somebody from St. Louis before. I love this. So why did you...
In speaking to your connection person... I told her, I mean, I'm having trouble formulating the question, but I know you'll be able to connect these situations.
My main
concern, I have a son that just got out of jail, has been an addict for several years. I think he's turned the corner, but I'd sure like to know some encouragement that it appears he has. The tsunami just really unnerved me watching it for a few days. And I think the reason is it reminded me we don't know when our time.
Exactly. And it also, we can control, we're all control freaks, most of us. We want to control everything. We think, you know, we'll dot our I's and cross our T's, and that means we'll keep everything safe. No, we're not going to ever know what's going to come get us at the end, if something is going to come get us. So it's just to remind us that, you know, there are other forces greater than our own, you know, our own wanting to control everything. What we can do
I feel
is,
like I got a prod that says, get on with your life and do what you're supposed to be doing.
Exactly, because we only have the now. We only have today. You know, the
and I'm not exactly sure what it is.
No, but you don't have to know that. That's the whole point. You know, I channel a lot of the beings that died in 9/11. And they often come forward to say, you know, we all, what if this happened, what if that happened, what if this happened? And I speak to one man who was a very big control freak from what I could tell. And he said he what if'd everything in his life. What if this happened, what if that happened? He said, I never once what if I had to jump out the 82nd story building of the World Trade Center. He said, that's what we have to know. We're never going to know the tsunami that may hit us or the plane that may hit our building. We're not going to see that. But we have today, and we have to learn to live a little bit more in the now. And if you just put it out to the universe that there's something you want to be doing, you brought up your son and his addictions, and anyone who's been listening to my show or anybody who knows me knows for the last 4 years, my mission on Long Island has been to educate how much heroin was on Long Island. and it has been a long battle. And basically, there's a little mission there. I mean, your son looks like he is trying very hard. Addictions are not easy to get over. Those of us who are older souls, we don't usually get addicted to drugs because we've done that in other lifetimes. We've all been morphine addicts one time or another in a lifetime. But what we do sometimes is become control freaks, and we're addicted to our need to control everything. So, you know, for you, is it something you can do, some mission you can do about the problem of drug abuse in America?
You know, here in St. Louis, just this evening, was news coverage of a meeting just across in Illinois to expose how much heroin is in our area. I don't know if I can write from the perspective of what it does to the parent, because there are so many books out there about that, but that is a strong factor. One of the other things that's been bothering me is I don't have a lot of patience with people right now. And just this week, I have told two people I have been in my life for quite a few years that I think our relationship has run its course. And, of course, they are not happy with that because I am saying to them, I won't take this anymore. I've been writing a book for a client that was supposed to take 120 days. We got up to 2 years. She was still making changes. I said, I can no longer give you any energy. And if I thought she was unhappy before, she's absolutely furious now. Do I need that anger so that I tell people, knock it off?
Well, you know what? Because, I don't know if, have you listened to our show before this today?
I have.
Okay.
But I missed you for a couple months now.
Well, you know that my mission is not all relationships are meant to last forever. Two, it's not okay you do this to me. And if you're going to pile things on me and you're going to not do what you're supposed to do, and if I keep doing the work, 90% of the work, and you won't come across to help me, I have a right to say enough.
Okay.
And knock it off. And this is even the energy that you gave your son that made him realize my mother, who loves me more than any person in the entire world, has had enough of me. It's when you mm-hmm. finally had enough, when you finally came to the realization you were a good enough mother, you did the best you could, but you can't carry his cross. Remember when Jesus carried the cross, Mary could not carry his cross. His mother could not carry his cross. She could wipe his sweat, but she could not carry that cross. You learn something from your son as well. And if you can know when it's time to, you know, let him carry his own cross, when enough is enough, when we don't have to make excuses for abuse, when it's not okay you do this to me, and I'm sorry means you don't do it again, you're right on the right path. And some people are not going to like you. And old souls like everybody to like them. Well, I'm sorry. Sometimes we're not going to be liked when we have to say enough. But you're getting a lot of divine guidance.
Okay.
And your son really does look like he's trying very, very hard. Again, as an older soul, sometimes people can lie right to our face and we don't know it. I need you to trust your gut. If you think your son is not clean one day, he's not clean. Even if he tells you, Mommy, I'm sober, I'm not using. Trust your own gut, and the universe looks like they're going to guide him quite a lot. But he knows the jail was a big wake-up call, and it was very hard for you to leave him there. It was very hard for you to witness this, but that's exactly where you land if you're going to use drugs. You're going to land in jail. You're going to land dead. You're going to land not healthy. So, you know, you had to let him pay for, you know, he wanted to take drugs, and he has to pay for it. You know, that expression, take what you want, but pay for it. It looks your year looks very good for you. So, you know, we're going to say a lot of prayers for your son. And I think just if you can just share, you know, what you've learned as a parent with other people, you know, tell them what's happened, where, you know, and don't be ashamed or embarrassed by it, because that's what happened on Long Island. People became too ashamed. They felt like, I'm a bad parent, that's why my child's a heroin addict. No, it's because they're selling it in the gymnasium, they're selling it outside the school, and the kids have no idea how dangerous the heroin was because nobody was speaking up about it. So I think if you could just be a voice for other moms that you meet, that would be wonderful.
Okay, I appreciate that. One quick message, and you
sure.
probably know this, but they mentioned in this little TV special tonight that heroin is so much stronger strength than it was when people maybe were doing it
in
years and years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem.
Of the drugs that are out there.
It's highly, highly addictive. You know, TJ, my fiancé, is a journalist for Dan's paper, and he actually wrote for the Southampton Press about the problem of heroin in the Hamptons. And one of the things was that the children are buying it in the suburbs. They're not, you know, years ago, you know, in New York, you'd have to go to East New York or Harlem, and, you know, it was pretty scary to go there. I mean, you just go there and know this stuff is deadly. Look at my surroundings here. Look what's going on here. When you can buy it in your own suburban communities, and when you use it, you know, 1 to 5 times and you're already addicted, it's really, really, you know, horrible. So I think, you know, we talk a lot about the terrorists that we have to watch out for. I think we better concentrate a little more on the pushers on every street corner. That's more than likely going to get us before a terrorist is going to come get us. So,
exactly.
Again,
okay.
Every natural disaster, anything like that, is God's wake-up call to us. God doesn't want to wake us up through negativity, through tsunamis, through, you know, horrible things. Sometimes human beings tend to wake up faster through disaster, but let's try to wake up through love. And
okay, my last question is, what am I doing to draw these angry people to me?
You have your own anger issues.
Apparently,
and, you know, you're
what
nice
do I do
person.
With that?
And you're stuffing the down. Older souls don't think anger is a valid emotion. What you can do with it, and anyone listening out there, by the time you live life, we have a right to be angry. I mean, it certainly hasn't gone our way a lot of times. You can write a letter that you don't have to give to these people, but to every person who has hurt you, betrayed you, not done the work that they said they would do, and just write a letter to them why you have a right to be angry, and you can finish one and you can say it to God. Sometimes God is just waiting for us to be angry. You know, finally God says, yeah, anger is a valid emotion. Yeah, you had a crappy life. You have a right to be angry. Be angry at me, get it out, and then move forward. Try not to stuff it down, because that's why angry people are gravitating to you. So try to deal with your own anger issues, and you'll see different kinds of people being drawn to you. And
there's
that's what you want.
There's a fun book called Unsent Letters, and it deals with write the letter, don't send it.
Exactly. No, I never heard of
it
that
into the
book.
Flames. It's called.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, I
can you
sure
say the name of it again?
I believe it's unsent, like UNSENT letters.
Unsent letters. Exactly.
And it does deal with writing. And because I'm a writer, I express myself better in words than I do verbally. And maybe that's part of why people are surprised now that I'm just saying no more. But
no more.
Thank you.
And
I don't want to take your whole show, but I know that I could. And this helps my
attitude.
And
please call in again and let us know how your son is doing, and you're not the only parent, and you're a good mom. And just do your best to not let him push your guilt buttons, okay? You know, you've been a good mom, and, you know, if we don't let our children push our guilt buttons, we can actually be much more helpful.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, Cindy.
Oh, my goodness. You know, how many times have you heard me talk about heroin, Nicole?
I know. Plenty of times, Cindy. Just so you know, I did. I was able to screen a couple of callers. After about 40 minutes, I finally got on.
Oh, good.
All right, so we're actually able to screen right now. I do have a couple of people in queue for you.
Okay, so
I actually tried to let you know when TJ called in, but unfortunately my mic was having issues after that, so
okay.
I'm not having any luck today. But we're going to actually go out to California right now. We're going to speak to Diane.
Okay.
Who's got a love question for you.
Sure.
And it was funny because I asked her, you know, I mean, was she in love or looking for love? And she said half and half. You know, basically she wants to know if love is going to be coming back around. So we're going to go to Diane in California right now.
Okay, wonderful.
Hello, Diane, you're on the air.
Hello, Cindy. Hi, I'm a new listener to your program.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, what a moment to be able to hear your fiancé talk about love. Wow. It was the best call. It just made, I'm sure, everyone smile because you could just feel the happiness from coming. And that's energy. And that energy just shared it with us. So love that.
And, you know, that's what there's only 1% of Americans actually keeping soulmate love, although 45% are offered that wonderful gift. And TJ and I work on it every day. You know, if I have a toxic moment, he's the most wonderful man because he'll just give me a big kiss and kind of end that toxic moment. We do communicate. We do. And one day he got me really mad about something. And, you know, I talked to him. I'm learning to say what I mean what I say without being mean about it. That's a big one. And he got down on his knees and begged me for forgiveness and said, I got it. I know what I did wrong. And I just looked at him and I said, oh, okay. You know, it was such a wonderful moment to know that we can communicate, we can say what's in our heart, and people can really get it. So, you know, it takes work every day, and that's what we do. Now, for you, Diane, I see that you had a relationship that started out good and then didn't quite stay that way.
That's exactly correct.
And you guys started out as soulmates. You and him were one of the 45% of the world offered soulmate love. But if we don't heal our issues, it starts dragging down that ladder to something else, sometimes to just a mediocre love affair, sometimes to toxic. And you guys have been separated a while now. How long?
Well, we tried to get back together a couple of weeks ago, and it was great, but then great for like not even a whole 2 weeks, and then it something, you know, kind of triggered it to get back. Instead of starting fresh, I kind of saw a pattern that was back, and so I haven't spoken to him for 2 weeks, but he has some things he left at my home, and I, you know, and he said he would pick them up, and he hasn't. And you know, I had said to him when he wanted to come, just to, you know, text me and I'll leave them outside so I wouldn't have to see him. Because when I see him, then I really want to be with him. And I forget how we continuously not make any progress on moving forward in the relationship is what the problem was.
Okay, because there's commitment phobia here in this card.
Yes.
You haven't listened to our show before, but commitments, there are different kinds of commitment phobics. There are the classic commitment phobics, the one that says, well, I don't want to get married, I don't want a relationship, and then, you know, what are we not hearing? They don't want it. Then there's closet commitment phobics. We say we want love, and then we keep picking men who or women who don't want to commit, who are unavailable. Most people are committed commitment phobics. They're married, but they're not really committed heart, soul, mind, and body. They come home with their bodies only, but their hearts, souls, and minds are elsewhere. Only 1% of the world has overcome commitment phobia. With this man, you know, he brings you close and then he runs. But
that's right.
You have to recognize that this has been going on for a long time and that you have your own closet commitment phobia because what are you not getting about this man? Do you understand that? I mean,
You're right. That's funny, but it gives you the illusion
that it's his fault. But really, if a man keeps saying, "I don't want commitment," like we're like selling books to a blind man.
He does say it. He doesn't do it. It's the action. The words are there. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Those are the words. But actually, you know, moving forward on it, what, you know, seemed to be an issue.
Right, and that's because, you know, he's a narcissist at some level, which means they tell us what we want to hear, and
they do what they want. So in my mind, I'm really believing his words, and then that's so not true.
That's so
and what
nice.
You're going to do is say this prayer. You're going to pray for a soulmate, and Nicole always laughs at this one because she knows I say it every show, soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to healing back. If it's going to be this man, so be it. If not, you have learned something very important. Soulmate love without commitment becomes pain. Painful love is toxic love. Soulmate love equals peace, love, and joy. And love cannot grow without 2 feet in it. With TJ and I, from the very first time I met him and he came to visit me, I said to him, look, I don't know what's going to be here for us, but if you want a relationship, you have to stick 2 feet in here. And I'll stick 2 feet in here, and we'll see what's there. And we've kept 2 feet in ever since. If you don't put 2 feet, if you have 1 foot in, 1 foot out the door, love can't grow. Trust can't grow. It either needs 2 feet in, which you tried to do for 2 weeks and it didn't go anywhere. Now you're doing what's right. Take 2 feet out. No texting, no talking. No, I'm not your friend, okay? I don't want to be just your friend. In taking 2 feet out, it's giving him an opportunity to miss you. The problem with him is after a while he'll call you back and he catches you in a moment of weakness. What I need you to say to him 2 months from now when he resurfaces, what's your intention in calling me? Is it to put 2 feet in here and see what's there? If not, I can't do this. You don't give them the 1 foot in, 1 foot out anymore.
That's
as for you, you were married before?
Yes.
Because you know what I'm talking about, committed commitment phobics. We could have been married, but that doesn't mean we overcame our commitment phobia. If we didn't marry a high level of love, if we weren't really committed heart, soul, mind, and body, at this point, this will go on with him for the rest of your life if you want it that way, just the way it is. If you
Ouch.
Want something different, yeah, if you want
yeah.
something different, just keep saying that prayer. If it won't be him, the universe will bring you another soulmate. We have about 30 of them, by the way. We don't have just one. We have one twin soul, which is a different animal. But as for our soulmates, we have about 30. Are you ready for a soulmate now?
I want to be. I believe I am. I absolutely believe I am.
Good. And that's what so, now, then if you absolutely are, then you were right not to drag this out anymore beyond the two weeks. If you saw him doing his usual, they come forward and then they start running. They start wanting to see us all the time and then they say, I want to see you less, and they start controlling everything, how much they see us, how much they feel. You know, you were very, very good to have put it to an end now because to the universe, you're karmically free of him right now. You don't owe him anything. But if you open up karma by sleeping with him again and being with him again, there it goes again, the cycle.
Right.
So until
right.
he can come back and have the same kind of love that you want, which is committed love, you'd be better off to, you know, take 2 feet out. Not easy because you have to overcome the thinking with women that any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, not committing, is better than standing on her own 2 feet. You have to stand
right.
on your own 2 feet without a man. It's not easy. But that's when the prince comes because we will no longer make excuses for abuse. We'll start saying, I really don't care what your mommy and daddy did. Knock it off. Grow up.
True. Oh, Cindy, you are so powerful. Your words are so easy to communicate. I love
and,
them. Thank you so
much. And that's
much.
What love is. Love is very simple, by the way. Picture that you found a huge diamond and you held it close to you for 3 weeks and now you're saying, well, I don't know if I really want this diamond. I'll put it back out in the street for a while. Well, commitment phobic puts you back out on the street because they're not sure if they're more afraid of loving you or losing you. So this way, if they put you out on the street a little while and somebody else comes along, they can say, oh, gee, he or she didn't love me that much. They replaced me.
Exactly.
That's really a sad thing. If you find something precious, you keep it close to you because that's what really is natural. To do what commitment phobics do is really very unnatural. It goes against every grain that's really about love. So, you know, please call us and let us know what happens. And if you don't mind sharing your age or approximate, because there are different kinds of, you know, karma with
50s.
Different age groups.
I'm in my 50s.
Okay, you're like me. Our generation saw a lot of committed commitment phobics, people that married low levels of love. Now we want to now we want to show what real committed love is. And you know, you're going to have that. And what's been channeled to me, by the way, is the greatest love affairs are happening to people 50 and over.
We finally
made a lot of mistakes. We've learned something. And now we get a chance to stop reliving our parents' marriages, stop reliving all the dysfunction we've learned, and come to a really higher place. So that's in the cards for you.
Oh, you gave me goosebumps. Love you so much.
Love you,
I'm
too.
So
and
happy to
please,
find your show.
Call in, and thank you so much for sharing your energy with us as well.
Oh, blessings. Bye-bye. Take care.
You too. Bye. Okay, let's move right along here.
Yeah, we're going to move.
Oh, do you have somebody? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do have somebody, Cindy.
Okay.
What?
Go ahead.
I don't know where you just, did you just pick somebody up? Yeah, you did. You picked up Natasha over in California. That was my next caller for you. Anyway.
Hello.
Oh, good.
Hi.
I didn't make a mistake. Oh, my goodness. Hi, Natasha. How are you?
I'm good. I am wanting to know if you pick up any romance for me in the near future here.
Okay. First of all, the laws of attraction, just desiring love brings it toward us. You look like you had a relationship that came to an end a while ago. Are you over that one yet?
I am.
Okay, good. You've done your mourning, because an end of a relationship is a death, and you've done your mourning over that?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and you've stopped beating yourself over the head over that relationship?
Right, yes.
Okay, good, because there's a wonderful, wonderful person coming here, very loyal, very trustworthy. A person who will want to spend his life with you. Very loving person. And you have a very good five-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours. So your desire for this love is certainly being heard. You do need to sort of get out there a little bit. Are you doing that?
Yes, I am getting out. Yes.
Okay. And you know, sometimes the universe has a little fun with us. They bring us a smorgasbord of people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking for
mm-hmm.
a man to fit a plan, they'll bring some mediocre guy, you know, see how you'll feel about that. You know, they might even bring a toxic one or two just to test your radar, that
mm-hmm.
you're able to see the princes that become the beast pretty quickly. But this is a really good man coming. And
you don't see it being as anyone from my past, because I always, for some reason, all my past relationships always seem to just want to connect with me. I don't get it. Well, they always trying to come back.
Okay. If this is not someone you've met before,
okay,
this is a whole entirely new soulmate here.
Okay.
What you need to do is do the little assignment that I always give people. You're going to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. And
mm-hmm.
in a positive word, you don't want to say, I don't want him to be a drunk. You want him to say, I want to be strong and sober. I want it to be kind. I want it to be my best friend, whatever it is that you want. Because that will help you recognize him when he comes. He's also a good business partner. By that I mean, if you were to marry him, he brings money to the plate. He's hardworking. He's successful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, try to be a little bit specific about it.
Okay.
Do you have some idea now? You know, you've had a number of men from these cards. I can certainly
tell
that.
And I've done that as well. What you're saying, I've done that, made a list of, you know, what I want.
The attributes that you want.
Yes.
And are you trying to also, anybody listening out there, it's not enough for us to want somebody to be strong and sober. We have to be strong and sober back. If we want somebody to be hardworking, we have to be hardworking.
Right.
So the traits that you're looking for in a mate, you can right now work on yourself being the living embodiment of that. He looks like he's circling right close to you. So probably in the next few months, he should be manifesting in your life.
Okay.
Have you made space for him, which means, you know, you have, you know, some free time to have a relationship. You have some, you know, are you freeing up the time and space for love? Because love does take up space.
Yes. Yes, it does. I realize that. It takes up a lot of space and energy. And, yes, I do have that space and energy available for a new relationship, yes.
Good. And this is a gift from There's a woman who passed away. I'm not sure if it's your mom or your grandmother, a very loving woman. Who do you think it is?
Grandmother.
Yeah, your grandmother.
My grandmother.
She's picked this. You knew her when you were growing up very well?
Very well, yes.
Because she's resonating almost like a mother with her. With dead people, when I hear their tones, a mother has a certain tone, a grandma has a certain tone. When a grandma's been very close, she almost rings like a mom. She's the one who picked this man for you. Soulmate love is always a gift from someone who's died. They bring this gift to us, but she's saying you better not mess it up, you know.
Right. I won't.
Good, because what she just wants to make sure you better not mess this up, because this is a really good man. And, you know, everything else looks really good in your cards. You know, you're really ready for this love. You've really decided. And, you know, you want to be one of those beacons of light. Soulmates are beacons of light for the world to see. And God actually wants to give that gift. If only 1% of the world is maintaining soulmate love, you think God isn't frantic to have that number so much greater? Because soulmates teach peace and love and joy. Toxic love teaches war, and mediocre love teaches cold war. So the universe is very frantic to have soulmates, you know, reunited and united. So, you know, really good luck to you. Such good energy surrounding your cards.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thanks for calling in today. Now, Nicole, I'm not sure if you have any commentary tonight.
What?
That you want to share with us. Do you have any commentary that you want to share with us tonight?
Well, as far as what, Cindy?
We had some really interesting callers tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, no, we definitely had some great callers tonight. You know, basically, you know, the only commentary that I really have to offer is, you know, like, you know, for the people that are looking for love, the common ground that everybody seems to be standing on right now is the fact that, you know, they have to, and we've talked about this on previous shows, that, you know, they have to remove blockages. You know, you were talking to Diane and everything, and, you know, who absolutely loved the chemistry, you know, between you and TJ tonight. You know, and that's because, you know, you can hear that love, you know, in his voice, you know. Almost every week TJ calls on his way home just to let you know that he's on his way home, to wish the callers well, to wish you a good show, you know. And that shows nothing but love and support on his part, you know. And I think a lot of people respond well to that, and a lot of people pick up on that, you know. And even as far as I go, you know, I mean, everything that you've told our callers to do tonight, you know, as far as making lists and as far as, you know, letting old people go and making room for the new people to come in, I've done all of those steps. You know, I followed your advice to a T, you know. I mean, I've obviously read your book, you know, more than once, you know. And, you know, I mean, I followed your advice. And the only thing that I can possibly offer to anybody that's listening right now is the fact that the steps work, you know. When you, like, with any system that you choose to go on, the system works, you know, if you work with it, you know. I mean, once I followed, you know, your advice, and once I faced the facts that, you know what, I have, you know, I am a commitment phobic, and I do have blockages in there, you know, and I do have to overcome my own issues, and I have to be willing to heal my own issues. You know, nothing else that's good is going to come to me unless I do those things, and unless I actually tell the universe, you know what, I'm ready. And you know what, like I say, you know, often on the show, if not every show, then often on the show, you know, once I got rid of my blockages and once I took, I stopped putting one foot in my old relationship and one foot in a new relationship, you know, and once I said, okay, fine, you know, the certain runaway tactics that I tend to take are just signs of my commitment phobia that I have to be aware of, and I have to stop and deaden my tracks, you know, when that happens. You know, I mean, I met somebody absolutely wonderful. I said it in the beginning of the show, you know what, I'm absolutely in love with her. I know that she's absolutely in love with me, you know. We have frequent conversations, you know, about times when we want to run and times when we don't run. We're very, very open. We're very, very communicative. We're very supportive of one another. And it's really large in part to you, you know, because you gave me the tools that I in turn, you know, made work for my own benefit. you know, and I have the greatest relationship that I've ever had in my life because of it, you know. So to the callers out there that are looking for love and that do want to know what's in their future, you'll have the love life that you want to have as long as you're willing to say, I'm not perfect, here's where I can be better, and now, universe, do the rest and bring me somebody that I can smile with until, you know, I'm old and gray.
Wow. And thank you so much, Nicole. And Nicole, of course, is a person who really does put into practice the messages that she received from her spirit guides in her readings from me. And you can see a lot of things will happen. If you want your life to change for the better, it will. And if you keep, you know, insanity is you keep doing the same things and you expect, you know, some different outcome.
And you know what, Cindy? I'm even going to offer our listeners proof. Go back into the archives, guys, and listen to me talking around the same time last year. And I can guarantee you that my advice was different. The tone of my voice was different. You can feel the different energy over the phone, you know, or over the computer just by listening to me speak, you know, a year or even, how long have we been doing the show now, Cindy? 2 years old now, right?
2 years.
Okay, go back 2 years ago, you know, I mean, and watch the metamorphosis, because it really did happen that way. And when I started taking certain steps and when I started removing certain blockages, they showed, you know, and I'm one of the luckier ones because I've got documented proof of my success, you know, and I've got documented proof of the way that I've changed over the last year, because not many people can go back 2 years and listen to what they were saying to other people.
And talk about love.
Exactly. I get to do that, you know, any time I want. I can go back to where I was then and say, wow, I was jaded. Wow, I was bitter. You know, wow, I was just not being constructive, you know. And then I can look at myself now and I could be and I see the change. And our listeners can do that, too, just by going into the archives. The steps do work when you want them to. You know, they really do. And the book does work when you accept that you're not going to like everything that you read in it, but you have to respect the fact that it's all true. You know, and you have to respect the fact that we don't always like everything about ourselves. We don't always like everything that we hear. But once you come to terms with it, once you accept it, and once you face it, it's only going to get better from that point on.
Exactly. Well, Nicole, we're going to wish all of our readers a happy St. Patty's Day. And all our listeners.
Yes, be careful out there, guys.
we might get in trouble
today
with a leprechaun.
No, not that. You know what? It is, you know, St. Patrick's Day, and it is a very, very large drinking night. And I do know
of
a couple
people. And what's
our advice?
No drinking and driving, please.
Exactly. I know of a couple of people this past weekend that got nailed out at the Huntington Parade, you know, and, you know, we're going to hope that they learn their lessons. And you know what? It doesn't necessarily have to be you. It could be somebody else. So just if you guys are going to go out tonight, be careful. Take extra special precautions and, you know, have a good time, but do it safely.
Okay, bye. We'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
See you all next week. Bye-bye.